Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Supertalk 99.7.
I really don't want to do it, and I'm not going to do it. It is Good Friday, and I am not going to play for you the audio that I have of Hillary Clinton yet again saying something absolutely ludicrous. I will, however, tell you what she said, because it is incredibly important for the overall scheme and the overall dialogue that we have here in America today regarding politics, generally speaking. So I do have that story for you, as well as a number of other stories, including what in the world is the condom snorting challenge. I tell you what, folks, every single day there is yet another way in which our kids and a lot of younger adults as well, you know, they drink their Red Bulls, they drink their Monster drinks, and they apparently have been partaking in the condom snorting challenge. So that story as well, straight ahead here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. By the way, the phone number always open on this Good Friday, 615-737-9986. Now, yesterday at exactly the same time, I told you all about how Roseanne was really leading to a oh crap moment in Hollywood. Well, now it would appear, and a lot of people were talking about this yesterday, including yours truly, regarding the fact that Hollywood now really seems to figure out how they can capitalize on Roseanne's success. And one of the things that a lot of people said is, okay, well, what about Tim Allen's Last Man Standing? People were befuddled. They were confused, including Tim Allen, by the way, could not figure out why it was that his show was canceled. Was it last year on ABC? And everybody was up in arms, including yours truly. Could not figure out why this show, with its popularity over 6 years and with some rating success, why was it canceled? If I'm not mistaken, ABC came out and they threw Tim Allen right under the bus and said, well, it's because he made too much money, the way the contracts are written, blah, blah, blah. And for his part, Tim Allen was kind of PO'd. And so were a whole lot of Tim Allen fans and conservatives alike. Well, now, here's the headline from MSN. Fox is considering bringing back Tim Allen's Last Man Standing after the success of Roseanne. Not real surprising, is it? Now, ABC, I think they know at this point that they made a huge mistake in canceling this show last year. Tim's Last Man Standing was canceled last year, much to the dismay of its fans. Many wondered aloud if the cancellation was due to his well-documented real-life conservative views and his conservative character on the show, based on the massive ratings of the Roseanne show on its debut, totaling 18.2 million viewers. And in case you missed the show open yesterday, I laid out for you in pretty specific detail the fact that the majority of the people who watched the Roseanne show, they were from places where Donald Trump is supported. Where did people not watch the Roseanne show? Well, places like New York and Los Angeles, you know, places where it's going to hell in a handbasket. But in places like Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Cincinnati, Ohio, and Kansas City, Missouri, God's country, in my opinion, in some of these places, those are the places that were watching Roseanne. So liberal cities didn't watch it, except for Chicago, which is where the show is based. But liberal cities didn't watch it. Conservative cities did come out. Now, one of the things that's going to be interesting to see is, okay, we all got the first one out of our system. When will the next one? How will the next one do? Now, on this Easter weekend, one of the things that I have on my agenda, lots of things I'm going to do this weekend, but one of the things is I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch Roseanne. I know, I admitted yesterday I've never seen an episode, but I want to see it. I think maybe it's one of those shows that I feel now I have a responsibility as a good, God-fearing, Donald Trump-supporting conservative. I should watch Roseanne. Otherwise, I was told yesterday I'm going to have to turn in my conservative card. Anyway, so now it looks like Fox could indeed, according to TMZ, because I know this is something that has been rumored. Now, TMZ is really now reporting that Fox is seriously considering rebooting Last Man Standing, which was originally aired on ABC. Now, I don't remember Last Man Standing. I wasn't a huge watcher of the show. But my question is, they didn't come to a natural end on that show, did they? It was just, it just evaporated one day. It just disappeared. there was no real natural ending. It was sort of like, well, not going to be back next season. I think that's the case. Now, with Roseanne, I think Dan, John Goodman's character, I believe he had died. So they're trying to work. I believe they worked their way through all of that. But it'll be interesting to see if they do reboot Last Man Standing over on Fox. And I think that's what Fox really needs to do, by the way. You know, we know that there's Fox News Network, which is something that most certainly appeals to conservatives. I think Fox would do, and that's Fox News has done pretty well for themselves, if I would say so myself, by appealing to and marketing themselves essentially to conservatives through their content. Although I would say that Fox News is really fair and balanced. I know there's people that watch CNN that are laughing their you-know-what's off right now, but I don't care. It's my opinion. Anyway, so they say that when ABC initially canceled Last Man Standing, they did indeed deny that it was given the boot because of politics. But again, if I remember right, they didn't really give much of an excuse. You know, Tim Allen at the time said that he was stunned and blindsided by the network he called home for the last 6 years. So I think if Fox News was smart, and they are, and I think if Fox Network, generally speaking, was smart, yeah, they would bring this show back, and they would also bring back other conservative shows or start developing. So I don't know, other than Last Man Standing and also Roseanne, I don't know if there have been other conservative shows. But certainly I think there is a hunger for it, and I do believe that there is a market for it. But above anything else, I also think that the shows do have to be of some quality as well. I mean, I think it just being conservative is not necessarily the end-all, be-all. The shows also have to be of certain quality, writing, acting standards, all that. But last August, Tim Allen telling Fox News the support from all the fans to bring back Last Man Standing is overwhelming and appreciated. And he says, I, along with the talented writers and the wonderful crew and terrific actors, would love to come back. And so we'll have to see if he does. But I do believe that Hollywood right now, I guarantee you, all across Hollywood, you have folks that are trying to figure out, okay, how can we, as quickly as possible, how can we get more conservative shows? Because I think that, and that kind of tells you, by the way, doesn't it? I think that that tells you how incredibly out of touch Hollywood is. Now, we knew that Hollywood was out of touch based on what happened in the midterm in the 2016 election, right? Hollywood was all about Hillary Clinton. Hollywood was very much anti-Trump, and we knew that for really throughout the entire campaign. So now they're sitting around realizing once again in all of their marketing, marketing meetings and all this other kind of stuff and development meetings. Okay, so we realize now that we made a huge mistake. So now how do we capitalize on that? And so that's going to be something that is going to continue here in the next several months. And I can't wait to see what they come up with. I really can't. What is the condom snorting challenge? You know, I got to tell you, it seems like every month or two, there's yet another challenge. Now, this one has been around for a while. But listen to this. Listen to what some of these monster drink guzzling kids are doing these days. Now, this specific story is out of San Antonio, Texas. We've had the fire challenge. We've had the archery challenge. I mean, we've had the, drop into a deep lake with an anvil tied to your leg challenge. I mean, all this stupidity. And people are literally dying. So now they say that some parents are attending an informative class there in San Antonio on dangerous. I wonder if there's one of these types of classes here in Nashville on various dangerous trends. Because what's happening is kids are indeed hurting themselves. Tide Pod Challenge, right? We talked about that a few months ago. So now parents are taking these classes trying to figure out how to keep their kids safe. You know, it's really not that hard to keep your kids safe. It would seem to me that all you have to do is tell them to be smart and use some common sense. And taking a condom unwrapped and inhaling it through one nostril and then pulling it through your mouth is not using your best common sense. One guy says, well, because these days our teens are doing everything for likes, views, and subscribers, it's graphic. But as graphic as it is, These folks have to show the parents what these teenagers are doing because it's all over social media. And the parents don't even, you don't even know that it's happening. I mean, it is stunning. As a matter of fact, and I did not, I saw a couple of them and it just looks abhorrent. It really does. If you want to go and you want to find the condom snorting challenge on the World Wide Web, you certainly can do it. It is out there. But basically, he says, yeah, I'd never seen this one guy who is a parent. And he says, I've never seen the condom snorting challenge before. So this one was a real big shock. But you know what's funny is who's sitting around? What kid is sitting around and thinks, you know what? I'm going to take an unwrapped condom. I'm going to inhale it through a nostril and then pull it through my mouth. Who even thinks about that? I mean, isn't that, it's not funny. It's just, it's the same mentality for these shows like Jackass and all of the other challenges out there. And so now, because there's a lot of parents that don't know this is happening, I got to kind of stick up for the parents on this one, though. Think about it. You know, because I'm sitting here saying, well, you know, it's all about parenting and all these kinds of things. But really, as a parent, do you have to tell your kid not to take an unwrapped condom and inhale it through one nostril and then pull it through your mouth? I mean, I say that's a pretty good stupid human trick, I guess. I don't know if people are dying because of this or not. But one of the things that they're also teaching these parents at these classes, and these classes, by the way, are happening all across America. This particular story is out of San Antonio, Texas. But the parents saying, yeah, I've never really seen this one before. Then there's the next generation of vaping. Now, it's spelled, and Bell, I don't know if you, producer Bell, I don't know if you know how to pronounce. Is it juuling? J-U-U-L-I-N-G? Is it juuling? I don't know.
I am honestly unsure. I tend to ignore the slang of morons.
Okay, very good. Thank you. But basically what they're doing is with this next generation of vaping is it looks just like a flash drive and it allows you to smoke nicotine. But because it looks like a flash drive, it is making its way into the schools. In other words, what's happening is and what these classes are doing is they're trying to teach you, the parents, all of the little tricks that all of our wonderful wayward teenagers and young adults are doing to pull the wool over your eyes, yet show their stupidity all over social media. And so, yeah, if you see your kids have some sort of a flash drive looking thing, well, guess what? That could very well be some sort of a vaping device, and it's called juuling. By the way, do you know what the number one sexting app is these days? It is Snapchat. So if you think that your kids are behaving themselves because the only thing that they're on is, say, for example, Snapchat or what have you, they're not on the evil Facebook and they're not on some of the Tinder and all of these other things. Well, you know what? If they're on Snapchat, that could be something that they are sexting on because they say that Snapchat is the number one sexting app. I wonder how many parents look at their kids' phones and really go through every single nook and cranny of that phone. Because I know that there are apps that will look like it's one kind of an app, but in reality, it's a disguise and it's actually something far, far different. I mean, we've seen, I've told you about that myself many times. I've had experts on the air talking about that. And, you know, I got all these parents that'll say, oh, but they have a right to privacy. Yeah, whatever. Tell that to your kid after you have to take him to the hospital because they've got an unwrapped condom somewhere between their nostril and their mouth. Sorry. They say that speaking of cell phones, advances in technology now allow parents to monitor cell phone activity and get important notifications. I've got a notification for a lot of the parents listening right now. How narcissistic is your kid? Because I think that that's what a lot of this is based on. You know, you've got, of course, stupidity, but you've also got abhorrent narcissism that is just running through an entire generation. I would say that if you look at and you talk about what will define the current generation of young adults, from David Hogg and Emma Gonzalez to some of these yahoos that are sticking unwrapped condoms into their nostril and pulling it through their mouth, What is all of this based on? What is all of this stupidity based on? Well, I think you could say that some of it is based on narcissism. Look at me, look at me. Now, as far as, you know, some of these kids that are doing all the marching on, you know, all across America regarding gun control, you know, you could say that some of these kids, their hearts could be in the right place. I'm saying some could say that, that their hearts could be in the right place. I would say that they're simply ignorant and they're not able to have a far broader discussion. But I digress because I've been talking about that all week. So one of the things that you're looking at, if you can get some of these, I would encourage you to go see if you can find it. I'll post it on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. But what they are saying is that advances in technology now allow parents to monitor these cell phone activity, get important notifications, and you're also able to view deleted text messages, current text messages, phone call logs, and you can also track their location. And there are other apps that will let you actually pause the phone of your kid. You know, one of the things that I've always loved is when you go to your kids and you say, okay, time for a snap phone check. And, you know, your kids are like, oh, crap. You know, it's their own oh, crap moment. And they're trying to delete text messages or whatever it is. It's like, no, it's time for that snap phone check. And I can't tell you how many times I've argued with parents left and right. When they'll say, oh, well, you know, our kids deserve privacy. We're not going to check their text messages. And, you know, they need to be able to know that we trust them. And it goes on and on and on. And I remember it was, gosh, I think it was about a year ago. I was on the air and I was talking about something something like this. And a guy called up and he said that his daughter had just committed suicide. And he was kicking himself because he had wished that he had done more to check what his daughter was doing on social media. But he didn't. He wasn't able to intervene. He didn't know it was coming. And after that phone call and after a lot of conversations, because, you know, I talk to a lot of people on the air, of course, but also off the air as well. And I also get emails and Facebook messages and all this kind of stuff. And you hear from parents who will say, yeah, you know what? You were absolutely right. I should have done more. You know, think about Nicholas Cruz. You know, think about some of these crazy guys that shoot up schools. Yeah, I'd be willing to bet that the more that you look at, just using Nicholas Cruz as one large example, but we can look at that from the standpoint of many smaller examples all across America. How many of these adolescents, how many of these kids, these teenagers, how many of their lives could have been altered, could have been changed, could have been righted, could have gone onto the better path, the right path? How many of those kids could have been able to avoid a whole bunch of pitfalls had their parents had the courage and the strength to make sure that they were just on the right track? Instead, their parents just let them make all of these mistakes instead of being able to intervene because they wouldn't look at their social media. They wouldn't look at their phones. They wouldn't do the things that, in my opinion, good parents do, which is make the tough decisions. Because I think we all know that it's really easy. It is so easy to be that parent who's a friend. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to be the parent that can look at your kid in the eye and tell that kid the honest truth about life, to tell that kid the honest truth about where they're going and what they're doing wrong. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of guts to be able to look at your kid and say, no, I'm not going to give you your phone back because you're doing X, Y, Z. And you know what? Someday you're going to thank me for this. And you know, when I was a kid, I did have the opportunity to say all of these really hateful things to my parents. And now that I'm adult, I have indeed gone back to my parents and said, oh, my dad's dead now, but and say, you know, thank you for what you did. It's 1224 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. 1234 Super Talk 99.7 WTN, Dan Mandis Show. The phone number, as always, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. One of the things that we always talk about is the wall. The wall, the wall, the wall. It's what a lot of people voted on. I went through this whole thing yesterday about how really irritated I was that I think, anyway, the wall more than likely is not going to get built. Well, there are apparently about 400 sheriffs that agree with me. People always get mad at me, by the way, when I say I don't think the wall is going to be built. Listen, I don't think the wall is going to be built. I'm just telling you. Because every time we turn around, what happens? Congress and the Republicans in Congress, they have not the testicular fortitude to get that thing built, to get that thing funded. But here's the story from Fox News Insider. Enough is enough. 380 sheriffs are now telling Congress Trump's border wall must be built. Now, earlier in the week, I told you that in Orange County, California, right? We all know that California is a sanctuary state. We all know about Orange County, which is, and I told you all this earlier this week, the sheriff there in Orange County is now being threatened via either lawsuit or by arrest from the state of California and the attorney general there for the state of California. What's his name? Xavier Becerra, something like that. He is threatening the sheriff in Orange County with arrest if he doesn't follow the state sanctuary state policies. And so now you got the sheriff in Orange County. He's trying to coordinate and work with ICE and the federal officials. And so now the sheriff in Orange County is saying, listen, I'm trying to follow federal law. And so you've got all these sheriffs in all of these municipalities in California who are going up against what Sacramento is doing in California. So it is on the backdrop of California, which is, as I would think we all know, between California, perhaps some other states like, oh, I don't know, Texas and Arizona. But I'd really say that California is ground zero for illegal immigration. It is on that backdrop that apparently sheriffs all across America are asking Congress to fund the wall. Listen to this. I love this story. 380 sheriffs from 40 states are calling on Congress to take action on building President Trump's proposed border wall and securing America's southern border. Without border security and immigration reform, more Americans will continue to be victims of crime. Now is the time to act, said the letter signed by these some 400 sheriffs. And by the way, I think this is the National Sheriffs Association. One sheriff in Bristol County, Massachusetts, guy's name is Thomas Hodgson, is leading the push, explained on Your World, Neil Cavuto, of course, that Congress's inaction on illegal immigration is impacting law enforcement's ability to keep their community safe. Well, no crap. I mean, how many times do we have to read the stories? How many times do we have to hear the stories of innocent people here in America who have their lives affected or even taken by somebody who is in this country illegally, who has been deported time and time again, only to be allowed back into this country through the inaction of our law enforcement officials? You know, through their own unwillingness to enforce our immigration laws or other ways, looking the other way, you name it, warning them, for example, mayor of Oakland warning a lot of these illegal aliens, hey, you know what, there's an ICE raid coming. Everybody scatter like cockroaches. We've seen that time and again. So, yeah, I would agree with Bristol County, Massachusetts Sheriff Thomas Hodgson, who says that it is indeed impacting law enforcement's ability to keep their community safe. He took particular aim at sanctuary policies, where he said undermining cooperation between local, state, and federal law enforcement is making it harder for America's sheriffs to protect citizens and legal residents. I mean, we all know, and I've told you about this, we all know that there is a whole bunch of legal immigrants in this country who are madder than heck about the illegals that are coming into this country and making them look bad. So he says, yeah, indeed, enough is enough. Apparently that is going to be one of the catchphrases of this. He says the sheriffs are speaking up and joining together with our constituents in our communities and saying, you need to act now. Congress, and let's stop this whole blueprint of inaction. Now, the reason why I love that so much is because what is it that we always find? We always find that the left, the liberals, the Democrats, they are usually far more vociferous than the Republicans, than the conservatives. We all know that it is, though, I just ask Laura Ingraham. We all know that the people on the left, they are the ones that know how to activate via social media. So it is good to see some sheriffs. And I'd be willing to bet there's some sheriffs in here that are actually Democrats, but who really look at the law without any kind of a political bent whatsoever. And they're looking at the law and they're looking at the Constitution and they're saying, listen, we need to do what we need to do to keep our community safe. I mean, you have to be an idiot or blinded by political correctness not to understand that not enforcing our immigration laws is killing this country. I'm just saying. One of the other things that people voted on in the election of 2016 is they voted against Hillary. Now, yesterday I told you that Hillary Clinton, she had done this. She was scheduled to do this speech in Rutgers University in New Jersey. And I told you that she was giving this speech at a cheaper rate, cut rate of $25,000. Because, you know, there's a whole circuit, right, amongst colleges and some of these groups and some of these, colleges and so forth. And they have these political figures come in and they pay him a boatload of money. And Hillary used to make, I mean, it was well over $100,000 each and every speech. And Bill Clinton, for the love of Pete, man, that dude makes millions of dollars doing this. So for Hillary to make $25,000 for this speech when she normally charges six figures, that tells you a lot about Hillary. No, not that she's being generous. It's that her brand has taken a huge hit. By the way, that $25,000, it would appear, is $7,000 less than Jersey Shore's Snooki got. Man, you want to talk about the ultimate insult. Snooki makes more than Hillary Clinton. I mean, she just can't win for losing. But the reason why she can't win for losing is because she keeps talking. And I think I even said at the tail end of the program yesterday, I guarantee you, there is going to be some sort of news out of this Rutgers University speech that Hillary is going to be giving. And lo and behold, there is news from Hillary Clinton's speech yesterday at Rutgers University. Hillary is now suggesting on Thursday, yesterday, that the criticism she should, quote, go away following her election loss to President Donald Trump is based in sexism, arguing that her critics never asked that of losing candidates who are male. Now, let's think about this for a moment, shall we? Because I can't think of a male, even Bernie Sanders, if there's somebody who really deserves to be angry, and if there's somebody who really deserves to have the ability to speak his mind about the reasons why he lost, it's Bernie Sanders. I mean, this is a guy, he had the entire DNC going against him, not to mention the media, and not to mention, of course, Hillary Clinton during the primary for the Democrats. Nobody had to tell Bernie Sanders to just shut up and go away because he did what most people learn to do when they were children, which is be good sports when they lose. And so Bernie went back to the Senate. But Hillary, the reason why people are telling her to basically shut up and go away, it's not because of sexism. It's because people are tired of hearing her speeches where she is so incredibly tone deaf. I mean, you know how tone deaf she is. Male losing candidates didn't have to be told to go away because, frankly, they understood the reasons why they lost. I mean, we can go down the list. You know, Al Gore, when he lost, he found another purpose, and that was all about the climate. I think he also invented the internet, didn't he? You know, we had John McCain went back to the Senate. Mitt Romney, you know, he went off and he did whatever it is that he did in the time. Now he's, of course, as we know, running for Senate. But we know that Mitt Romney went away for quite some time, did philanthropic work. So all these various politicians who lost the presidency. I think what just on a very quick side note, I think whatever was bothering Michael has now infected my throat because I'm having trouble getting through all this. But I think the bottom line is this, is that a lot of these men that lost the presidency, you know, they went and found another purpose. The problem with Hillary is that she keeps saying roughly the same thing over and over again, and she keeps insulting large swaths of people. Yeah, just a few days ago, and I talked about this, you know, in India, she said, oh, you know, women. In fact, Sandra Bernhardt from The Roseanne Show, even she said, yeah, you know, women, they're just basically they can't think for themselves. And that's what Hillary said, too. Women can't think for themselves. So they basically acquiesce their vote to the to their husbands. And we know that a lot of people are looking at this and looking at the things that Hillary is saying, and that's why they're telling her to shut up already and to go away, because people don't want to hear it anymore. Some of the other things that Hillary said, they said, well, you know, folks never said that to any man to go away who was not elected. She says, I was kind of struck by that. She went on to reference former presidential contenders who had lost their bid for the White House but did not shrink away from political discussion. But there is a difference, and the difference is this. The difference is that for Hillary, she's not speaking of anything substantive. She's talking about the same tone-deaf excuses that she's been talking about for well over a year. So she went on to reference what I just referenced, which was Al Gore. He didn't stop talking about climate change. But as far as I know, Al Gore, he didn't... He had a little bit of whining, but certainly he was over it after about a year. You know, he probably wakes up every once in a while, you know, muttering something about hanging chads and all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, Al Gore went on to lead a very, you know, productive political life, although, you know, I don't agree with him. But, you know, he's done a lot of things that, oh, thank you, Bell. You're bringing me water now because I'm losing my voice. Thank God it's Friday, right? You know what I think it might be? I don't even know if I should admit this. You know what I had yesterday? Jelly beans. Maybe it's my big overindulgence in jelly beans. I know it's not even on LT360. But good Lord, I was flying high on sugar. Anyway, going back to Hillary. You know, it's funny. I'd much rather just talk about jelly beans. Black jelly beans. They are an indulgence that I had as a kid. And yesterday I came in contact with some black jelly beans, and it was like I was double fisting jelly beans. God, I love black jelly beans.
Do you have no willpower?
You know what's funny about that? I do have willpower, but you know what the thing is? I bought this this bike. You know, it's one of those standing bikes. You know, you can see, actually, you know what I did? This, because, you know, I got on the scale today, you know, jelly bean addiction notwithstanding. And I've lost, over the past couple of weeks, I've lost another 5 pounds. So I felt really good about myself. And so, of course, I start scarfing down jelly beans, but whatever. But I got this bike. And so I've been riding the bike, and I've been riding it rather obsessively for the past couple of weeks. And so I've dropped another 5 pounds. So I think it gave me permission for whatever reason to scarf down, you know, the black jelly beans. Now, you realize, though, when I'm talking about, because it's Easter time and you're around kids. So, you know, they bring home all these, you know, Easter eggs and jelly beans and you know, chocolate bunnies and all this other kind. Oh, God. It's almost worse than Valentine's Day. Anyway, moving on. I was talking about Hillary. So let's talk about black jelly beans. Let's go to the phone.
Those are always more interesting than Hillary.
9986. I'll tell you what, it's between black jelly beans. You know, it's interesting, though. You know, I have met so few people in actually, I should unfold this. I have to do this again in the 2 o'clock hour. Uncrumple my piece of paper. But you know what's funny is I've met so few people who actually like black jelly beans. You know, the only other person that I've ever met that had a thirst for black jelly beans was my dad.
It's got to be the genetic thing because I think those things are nasty.
See, everybody says that. Whatever. I'm always the guy that will hoard the black jelly beans. So that's one of many things, apparently, that I got from my father is a love of black jelly beans. And so anyway, if you have any black jelly beans, feel free to stop them by the station. I probably need to gain back the 5 pounds that I've lost by going on that. You know, I love my bike and I hate my bike. Because that thing is rough, man. Please don't tell me there's an LT360 spot. No, it's not an LT360. Thank the Lord. But listen, here's the great thing, though, about LT360. It's not a commercial. By the way, if you want to see the picture of my bike, I put it on the Dan Mandy Show Facebook page. That's how compelling the content is today on the Facebook page. Go see my exercise bike. That's the thing, though, about LT360 and being healthier, generally speaking, because I'm down to like 163, 164. And so the great thing about being lighter and healthier, and Bill, you know this because you've lost a crap ton of weight, too.
Yeah, like 40 pounds.
You have. You look really good.
I do, don't I?
You do. And so, you know, for me and you, Bill, I mean, one time, I'll speak for myself. You know, there are some people on the staff that they've always been in good shape. You know, Doogie, I don't know if he's ever been overweight. I've known him for like 4 years.
And I don't think he's capable of becoming overweight.
No, but see, the thing is, you know, the great thing for me is that, you know, people have seen me over the last 4 years. You know, when I first got here, man, I was like a big old tub of lard. I was like a Pillsbury doughboy, you know, and I've been like that all my life. And so, you know, I lose, you know, 65, 66, 67, 68 pounds now. And you can really see the difference, but you got to hand it to a guy like, you know, say, for example, a Doogie, who he's, as far as I know, he's never had a weight problem. So, you know, people like, you know, you and me, Bill, who we lose a lot of weight and we get a lot of attention because we've accomplished something. But you know, you also got to give it up for, you know, people like Doogie, Phil Valentine as well. You know, Phil's on LT360, but, you know, that dude's in great shape. And so he's been taking good care of himself for a long time. Okay, you know what? I am just so ADD today.
Even Johnny is in really good shape, too.
Johnny is in good. Well, you know, it's all about the drugs.
Johnny's like 140, but he still only looks like he's in his early 50s.
It's all that cocaine he took as a kid. I'm just kidding. I don't know if Johnny. Although, if there's anybody on the staff that's had hardcore drugs, would you say that Johnny, because of his rock and roll background, I bet you it's Johnny.
No, I would have assumed it would have been me, but I've never touched the stuff.
Actually, that's true. I would totally take you for a drug user. You ever do marijuana or anything?
Yeah, I smoked pot when I was younger, but I never had anything any interest for anything harder than that. And
yeah,
even when I was younger, it was
now,
like
for the record, I don't know if Johnny has ever done hardcore drugs. I hope Johnny's not. He's going to get all mad at me now if I'm, you know. If you happen to be from the DEA, don't go raiding Johnny's house. He's perfectly clean. He's
I do know
the
he used to have a real serious problem with powdered sugar.
Did he?
Yeah.
Seriously?
No.
Oh. You see how gullible I am? God, I hate that. As I was some friends the other day, and they just it's like everybody, the things my friends like to do to me, you know, they'll just start feeding me these lines, and I just fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. Like, let's see what we can tell Mandis today that he'll believe. Anyway, it's 12:53 now, and super. No more ADD moments. The rest of the show, I've got it off my chest about the whole love of black jelly beans and whether or not Johnny has done hard drugs. All that stuff is over. We're going to move on.